saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome back. It is another edition of Inside Boxing Live presented by PPV.com. It is Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri. We're coming off of a ridiculously loaded weekend of boxing all over the globe, all over the continental USA. We made it through 4th of July. If you blew up your fingers, I'm sorry. If you didn't, you're here with us. Chris Algieri is showing us all 10 of his fingers. That's amazing, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not going to show you my toes because they're jacked, but I still got all 10.
Are you like the athlete, like got athlete's feet? Like I remember the first time I ever went and like I had an internship with the New York Knicks and I went to the Knicks locker room and I looked at, I had my head down because that's what you do when you have an internship. You keep your head down. You don't say a word. And I saw their feet and I saw an NBA player's feet. And I was like, that is the most decrepit things I've ever seen in my life.
I dated a few dancers, dancer females back in the day, and I remember their feet, and they always like, oh, I got dancer's feet. I'm like, yikes. And then, my feet were no better. I was a kickboxer, so I was barefoot for the first 20 years of my life, kicking people in their skulls. And then it actually got worse when I started boxing and put shoes on. My feet are jacked. And now I'm a runner, so I mean, just compounding everything.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that'll do it, Chris. That will do it. So what a weekend it was. We had the Shakur Stevenson card over in Newark, which saw Shakur pick up another dominant win. We'll have a lot of thoughts on that because he can't just win. He's got to look like Prime Ali, Mike Tyson, all in one. That card was loaded with a lot of controversy and a lot of action. Over in Golden Boy, William Zepeda picked up a win. Over on the fan meal, the PPV.com, Masvidal Diaz, which I had, which I was very much locked into, was an interesting night of fights. But let's start with Shakur. I don't know, man. I thought he was stood in the pocket a lot more. He picks up a unanimous decision win. He lands 44% of his power shots. He threw and landed a ton more. He was willing to throw. He was willing to land those power shots. He held Artem Hartanian to single digits in 11 of the 12 rounds. He landed 66 body shots, but Chris, he does not get the stoppage. He does not get that blood that the fans lust for. The red meat. Fans were leaving. ESPN showed fans leaving, which I thought was a little bit of a low blow. But Shakur gets the win. This is his last fight with Top Rank. Let's unpack it.
Yeah. So obviously he's not re-signing with Top Rank. Obviously, by the way, they you know, presented that, like you said, showing the fans leaving. It seems like they're kind
of... And Bob Arum was not there.
They're probably shuttling him off, like, all right, good, we don't got to worry about you. We don't have to deal with you anymore. But listen, I mean, Shakur did not do himself any favors. And I think part of it is it's his PR team, and his PR team being himself. Stop telling people you're going to kick their ass and knock them out. That's not what you are. You don't do that. Be Pernell Whitaker. Pernell Whitaker was the top of the pound for pound for many years, guys. We're rewinding now. Like, Dan, we're old men, right? We've been around this game for a very long time. We remember Pernell Whitaker. A lot of these new fans don't. Pernell Whitaker was a defensive wizard. He knocked out zero people at the highest level. Okay? He went out there. He made everybody look bad. His defense was otherworldly. He was a wizard. He didn't go out there telling he was going to knock you out. He said, yeah, I'm going to whoop your ass. I'm going to make you look bad. And then he did it, and people enjoyed it. Shakur needs to be that guy. He's just not that guy. He does not know how to build on hurting guys. He does not hurt guys. And then once he does, he does not know how to build on it to get them out of there. He's just not good at it. He gets hit too much when he's trying to go into offensive mode. He doesn't seem seamlessly mix between offense and defense. And that's fine. It's a hard thing to do. You got a guy in front of you who's going to punch back. Artem is actually a good fighter. Ton of amateur experience. Physically strong. Put up a great performance against Frank Martin. I thought he put up a decent performance last night against Shakur, but he got Shakur. He's got a defensive wizard in front of him. It's the walking into the fight telling everyone I'm gonna knock you out that leaves them longing. If you go out there and be like, yeah, this guy's not gonna touch me, I'm gonna outbox him, he's gonna be swinging at the air, I'm gonna touch him here and there, touch him all up, I'm gonna beat him up, I'm gonna domesticate him, and I'm going to completely shut him off. Yeah, oh, he's good. Cool. I'm going to turn him completely off. I'm going to take his offense absolutely away from him. He's not going to hurt me. He's not going to touch me. This is hit and don't be hit. I'm not going to get hit. I'm going to hit him. I'm going to win. So I think a lot of it is just PR, and it's just his own going into it. And his corner, you know, keeps coming back. I'm going to knock him out. Like, dude, don't talk about that. Just go out there and do what you do, man. What you do is a beautiful thing. It's amazing how if you really watch him. But I think that a lot of people are expecting things from him that are just not what he is.
Yeah, it's you couldn't be any more spot on. Like, it's the Twitterification, and he had Twitterson on the back of his shorts.
I know.
Like, kind of like trying to poke fun at the fact that he's constantly on Twitter. This is a guy that's out there too much. This is a guy that's listening to every single criticism. This is a guy that's placating to the fans rather than to himself. And I couldn't agree more. You can market a fighter. Look at Floyd Mayweather. I mean, although at when Floyd was at Shakur's age, he was much more of a killer. But you can market guys on being defensive wizards. You can market guys on the sweet science. You can market guys on looking so damn good and just embarrassing and undressing their opponents. But like you said, Chris, if you come out and you're so outspoken and you're so bold and you're almost – you say you have to be delusional in boxing to have some self-belief. But this is like bad delusion from Shakur. Like, you're not a knockout fighter. It's very clear now. You're 26 years old. You're entering the second portion of your career. It's not like you're still in the development stages. You are what you are almost at this point. You're not going to start developing that killer instinct unless something drastically changes inside of that ring, which I just don't see happening. So, therefore, this is what you are, and it's damn good. Like, you dominated this guy last night. You didn't just beat him. Like, you beat him way more convincingly than Frank Martin did. Frank Martin was life and death. Frank Martin in the 12th round needed an unbelievable round just to get the decision. You dominated this fight. You landed 45% of your power shots. You held this guy to single digits. You did whatever you wanted there. You were hammering to the body. But by the 6th or 7th round, when I saw Artem, you know, sucking wind, walking back to his corner, it looked like – like, a lot of fighters would have gotten Hartunian out of there, would have found a way to get him out of there. Like,
round six is exactly right, it.
Exactly. Round six. I was like, this is it. Even though the DraftKings had plus money for Shakur by decision, which I thought was – I only put 100 on it. I wish I put everything I had on that fight. But I was like, I got a little nervous in those middle rounds because I was like, okay – not nervous, but like, I would love to see Shakur get a stoppage. I was like, this is it. He's going to do what I thought he's going to do. He's going to, you know, death by a thousand cuts. He's going to, you know, precision. And he's going to piece this guy up and he's going to stop him. He just doesn't have that second gear like you talked about. But I think it does go back to the marketing. And I think it goes back to him just putting his foot in his mouth over and over and over again to the point where he is completely typecasted by fans. Like, it is like... The amount of memes I saw last night, Chris, on Twitter of people sleeping, people like boring. He's just labeled them. It's going to be almost impossible for him to shed that because he's done such a bad job in the marketing aspect of the game, which is a huge part of the sport.
Well, I think part of it also comes down when you're watching the interactions with him in his corner, when he's telling him, I'm going to knock this guy out. I'm going to knock this guy. He was saying that almost every round coming back. He's just not aware of what he is. And that's more of a problem than anything. If he was going out there and he was just trying to trick Vegas and being like, oh, I'm stopping this guy. And then, you know, he doesn't. And he gets the decision, like you said, plus money on a decision because everyone thinks he's going to stop him. That's one thing, but it's not. It seems like he thinks he's going to stop these guys. And then when he doesn't, it's going to affect him as well. I think he just needs to change up the script because listen, his talent is undeniable. He is a sublime talent. His defensive skills are par with no one else in the sport today. But you're just not a knockout puncher. You're not a beat a guy up, beat him down, break him down kind of guy. Not to take anything away from Artem. He's a very, very tough guy. He came in great shape, obviously. People forget that he took the Frank Martin fight on short notice and came in and showed his ass out. So he had a better prepared Artem. Another thing about him, he's got like hundreds, I think like 300 amateur fights, this guy. He's a very, very good fighter. So Shakur being able to completely shut him off is impressive. But when you sell it a different way and then you underdeliver, you're going to leave fans longing. There's no other question about that.
Yeah, and you talk about how he needs like to flip the script. So like, this is his last fight with Top Rank. I've the thing with boxing contracts, and you would know this way better than me, is that they're so complicated. Like, we never know truly when a fighter is at the end of their contract with mm-hmm. a promoter. Where in baseball, we know that Aaron Judge is going to be a free agent at the end of 2022. We know in basketball that LeBron is up for contract. In boxing, it's so muddied, so you don't know. It has never been more clear that Shakur Stevenson is a free agent, and this was his last fight with Top Rank. He's wearing a shirt that's had something messaged towards Bob Arum. Arum doesn't show up. He's doing this interview with Kriegel. They are very open about what went wrong at Top Rank between him and Shakur. He said, listen, they built me beautifully from the Olympics until my last fight. Before the De Los Santos fight, he said, I thought it was amazing. Because it was. I mean, they really built this kid perfectly, I thought. I mean, it's on him for not being able to figure out ways to change up his style a bit and the stuff we just talked about inside the marketing and whatnot. But now he is seemingly done with Top Rank. He turned down a 5-fight, $15 million deal, which would have paid him at least $3 million per fight. Turned that down because he is steadfast on heading out into the open market. We talked about this last on the show. You remain in the corner that he should stay with Top Rank. Are you still sticking with that, or do you feel like he needs a new, I don't know, a new home, a new look, a refresher? Because he says that Top Rank has not been able to deliver him the big fight.
When you get that other information where he says it that way, and I have to take his word for it. If he says that they can't deliver the fights, and then, you know, that's something to think about. And if that's the case, then yeah, you got to move on. But I think that if he had flipped his own script in terms of his PR and marketing himself, and then stuck with Top Rank and then just kept collecting titles, he's got to go the route where I'm just going to beat everybody. Yeah, it's hard to get the fights, but when you got Baranchek, who's a super beatable champion, on the same side of the street as you, and now you can be a 2-belt holder in one weight class. Guys, I say it all the time. Belts bring money, belts bring negotiating power. If you have 2 belts, it's that much more. It almost doubles your ability to negotiate. And we live in the world of unifications. And granted, we got a guy like Tank Davis who says he doesn't care about belts, but yeah, guys, everybody cares about belts and everybody wants to see that fight.
Caring now.
Yeah. Everyone's going to start caring, and Tank's going to start caring now. It seems like Tank has flipped the script in terms of his own marketing as well. In a good way, in a positive way. So, I still don't think Top Rank was the worst case, but that's dead and gone now. That bridge seems to be burned. That's the thing about Top Rank. If you decide that you're not going to sign with them, you're going to get the treatment you got last night. They're going to show people leaving. They're going to talk about, they're going to discuss how he's just not that guy, and he's not that, you know, explosive and most entertaining guy, which is unfortunate because he is a super talent in the sport today. But listen, we're big Shakur fans on this. I probably more so than even you, Dan. But I'm a big Shakur fan. I'm a boxing purist. I love watching guys do what they do.
I'm not a hater by any means.
No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, like, I'm a huge proponent for him and even that style. And I keep bringing up Sweet Pea. You know, I'm gonna keep bringing up Sweet Pea, Pernell Whitaker. You know, Pernell Whitaker, even though he was a defensive fighter, even though you're gonna guarantee you're gonna get 12 rounds, you know, he was still entertaining. He knew how to kind of sell his style and make guys look bad. And Shakur can too. He just needs to learn how to sell it while he's doing it. But even in that comparison, if you look at that fight last night, there were times where Shakur is imposing his physical size, his strength. He's walking Artem down. He's throwing punches. He's hurting him. He's landing. He's, you know, it's still very different than Pernell. Like, he's definitely not a bad puncher. He's just not a good finisher. You know, and I always say that all the time. Like, yeah, there's punchers and there's finishers. And a lot of times punchers don't always get knockouts. Finishers get knockouts. And it's not always the guy with the biggest punch who gets all the knockouts. Finishers are different. Look at Zepeda.
Mentality, right?
William Zepeda. He's not a puncher. He's not like a one punch guy, but he gets finishes. He stops you because he has the mentality that I'm going to run you roughshod until you're no longer want to be here. And it's just a different mentality. And I don't think Shakur is weak. I don't think Shakur is not strong. He showed his physical strength last night against a very strong guy. But he's just not a finisher, and that's okay. You don't have to be. It's going to hurt you in marketing. It's going to hurt you in money-making opportunities, but that's why he just needs to be the guy, kind of like how Floyd was in the higher weight classes. I just have to beat everybody, but getting those fights is tough, and that's where having the promotional arm is really important.
Yeah, he might take a little short money now, Shakur, if he says he wants these elite. Like, the biggest fight for him is Tank Davis. They're in the same weight class.
One of the biggest fights in the sport.
it's one of the biggest fights in sport. But the thing with Pernell, and I saw a tweet last night, it's like, man, you guys would, I would love to see if Twitter was around when Pernell Whitaker was fighting, because he would have been, people would have been saying the same exact thing. Yeah. And it's gotten to that point where no matter what Shakur does in there, no one's going to see those little things. No one's going to see him standing his ground last night. No one's going to see the defensiveness. No one's going to see him standing in the pocket and trading, which are all great things. That it's just gotten to the point where the fans are expecting just a stoppage. Like, if he would have got a stoppage last night, it would have went such a long way for him. Yeah. In terms of where he's going to be in the next couple of fights. Just that's all it would have took, but he just didn't get it because, like you said, it's just not exactly who he is inside of that ring. But the thing is, Chris, is he just wins. He wins fights, and he will continue to win fights with this style. It might not be your cup of tea, and I'm seeing the most hardcore of boxing people, even like a Lou DiBella, who knows boxing inside and out, says, I like Shakur. He is very good. I would favor him against a lot of fighters. It's just not my style. I just don't enjoy watching that style of boxing, which is fine.
Fine.
But he wins fights. Mm-hmm. He can beat Tank Davis.
Yes.
He can beat Devin Haney. He can beat anyone at 130. He can beat William Zepeda.
Teo. He talks about fighting Teo all the time. You know, like,
he can beat them all.
We're not saying listeners, we're not saying he beats all those guys. We're saying he can. Okay.
He can. No, yes. That's what I mean. It's like that style is so sustainable in terms of just making someone look awful and just doing what you have to do to win and still being precise inside. You're not going to get the knockout, but you're going to land 40% of your power shots and you're going to keep the other guy to single digits, which he did to Artem. I understand that Artem is not even a top 10 lightweight. He's not on the level of a T.O., a Haney, a Tank. But he can beat those guys. He can beat them, which is why I need to see him with the elites. I don't know how that's going to happen now with this new deal. Like, I'm sure he can get them somehow, but I need to see it. I'm not of the school of, like, don't even bother making Tank versus Shakur.
Tank's, I know, these people online are crazy.
I see it all day. I saw it crazy last night. It's just like, it's a mob mentality. I understand. That's how Twitter works in every aspect of Twitter, not just boxing Twitter. It's just a mob mentality. So right now, the cool thing to say is that Shakur is ass. Shakur is trash. He can't hang with any Haney. He can't even hang with, he can't hang with Tank. Yes, he can. Like, I need to see him versus Tank. I need to see that because he can beat them.
The thing about defense is it's so nuanced and it takes such a trained eye. We've been in the sport for a very long time. We understand what Shakur is and how he is able to beat. That's why we can say that he can beat these guys. Dan, did you see what Lomachenko said? Is this true? I don't know if this is true. They were saying that he was going to step aside. Is that a real thing?
I don't know. That's Kenny Ellis. That's one of Tank's trainers has been, for the last like 2 weeks, posting every day, like day three of me watching Vasily Lomachenko tape, and we're going to expose this. He's being very open that like they're going to get that fight. And the last thing that he posted was Lomachenko has agreed to step aside and let Tank fight Shakur, and he'll fight the winner. I don't know. I don't know.
I saw that, and I was like, all right, I don't know how real this is, but I started thinking, right? Because that's what we do here. We think boxing all the time. That's
all
we do.
You're a media guy now.
Yeah, all I do is think boxing. And I'm thinking, I'm like, you know what? That's not a bad idea. Because I think if you're Loma's team and you watched Shakur's performance last night, Loma then goes, you know what? I could potentially beat this kid. Like, I can, you know, if he's not that busy and there's opportunities to hit him, if we can slow the pace and it comes down to, like, you know, tit for tat to win rounds, there's ways to beat him in that way. And I just don't think Lomachenko can beat Tank. And if you watch that and you go, listen, I can see how, and Loma's smart, he can look at Shakur and be like, I can see how Shakur can beat Tank. And if I can beat Shakur, let Shakur fight Tank. Shakur potentially beats him, then I have a possibility to beat Loma, which makes, you know, in terms of negotiating, that's like the smartest tactical move ever. But so even if Shakur loses... But even if Shakur loses the Tank, then it's like, all right, well, Tank is even bigger now. He just beat Shakur. And then I go fight Shakur. I go fight Tank, excuse me. Win or lose then, it's like it still elevates the fight. It makes more money for the fight. So it's not the craziest move to do, especially if you're being very tactical.
That's a deep thought, Algeri. That's you really took that post. I like just breezed right past it.
I did it first. And then it hit me in the middle of the night.
So Lomachenko, you woke up in a deep sleep. Lomachenko is basically playing
chess. I woke up in a deep sleep thinking about Lomachenko's tactical plans for the sport.
his chess move while everyone else is playing checkers for him to finally become undisputed. I don't know. I just think those are the three guys right now at lightweight if they all stay there. Like Shakur seems to be making the weight fine. I mean, that's another thing too with him is like, we've seen some of these guys just killing themselves to make 140, killing themselves to make 135. Like, he looks super healthy.
He came a pound under. He was 34.
And, like, not sunken in. Like, he just looks like he could stay there for a few years. Tank is obviously super small, 133.8 in his last fight. And then Lomachenko is obviously, he is a lightweight. And they're the three best lightweights right now. The three of them are the three best. So figure out a way for them all to fight each other. I don't know if that will happen. I do see Tank and Lomachenko fighting because I just think monetarily, financially, it's just the right fight right now.
I think Shakur is going to be sitting out for a bit. I don't think we're going to see him for a little while because of this deal situation.
Well, that goes back to your idea of like him just staying with Top Rank, fight Berenchik. It's not a huge fight, but it's another belt. Like
fight him in September. That's an easy.
Why are we
to make.
Fighting exactly? Like this heart, it's not. Berenchik's better than Artem Hartinian, but it's like the same level of a fight in terms of like make. It's super easy to make.
I don't know if he's better, honestly. I think Artem's pretty good.
Artem's good, but my point is like if you're gonna be taking these fights, Shakur, that you're clearly better than. Like you should not be fighting Artem Hartinian at this point. Like you should be in there with the top of the top. So if you're going to like not get these top fights, and there aren't that many of them, so fight Berenchik, who has a belt. It was supposed to be Navarrete. Navarrete loses. Like that messed up so many plans at Top Rank, Navarrete losing to Berenchik. So fight Berenchik next with Top Rank. Have the two belts. Have some negotiating power. No, you're not going to do that. You're going to say, freak Top Rank. I'm going to go out and do my own thing. And like you said, there's nothing much with Matchroom. They don't really have any connection to the lightweight division. I don't see him signing with Golden Boy. I obviously think a William Cepeda versus Shakur Stevenson fight is the next fight that should be next. He's the fourth best lightweight.
I was gonna jump in with that, but I figured that was a good segue into his fight.
Yes. William Cepeda fought last night and did another William Cepeda thing is where he just completely erased.
He's a bad dude. Rivera,
with body shots, just relentlessness. He is the top four lightweight too. So Shakur Stevenson versus William Cepeda should be next. Can we get this fight with Shakur being a free agent? Can he work out a deal with Golden Boy to make that fight? Because Shakur's on the outside looking in of this Tank and Lomachenko situation. Fight Cepeda. Get that signature win. You look beautiful doing so.
Cepeda looks like the kind of guy he's ready to fight anybody yesterday. That was very impressive what he did last night with Cabrera, who, you know, was in the fight with Cruz. We were there. We watched it live. We were really surprised. I mean, he showed a tremendous chin in that fight, was getting rocked by Isaac Cruz all night long. Actually had some success. Somehow that fight was a split decision or a majority decision, which is insane. Isaac Cruz definitely won that fight, hands down, but was still in the fight. And for Cepeda to absolutely demolish him in three rounds and give him a full, hit him with a body shot and him take a full 10 count. That's a big deal early on. So yeah, Cepeda has established himself last night. Cepeda had a great night last night. Shakur did not. Cepeda had a great night. Shakur did what he's supposed to do. He boxed well, but Cepeda came out the winner last night of all the fighters that fought last night.
Everyone is fixated on Shakur. Like, well, obviously last night, I think Masvidal Diaz got all the attention and we'll get to that way later, but Shakur got
not
all
in my
the
world. For all the- not in my world. Nobody I talked to was worried about that one.
Yeah, but Cepeda should get the attention. And like just 10 minutes ago on this show, I forgot about him being in the top discussion at lightweight because that's just how he is being marketed and just how
he's the odd man out.
Buried. He is the odd man out, but he's so freaking good. And like he should, like, Cepeda versus Stevenson should be next. And now I see an opening for that. So it's Shakur. Like, you want to put your money where your mouth is. Like, you want the biggest fights, right? I don't know who he has his mind set out for. Is it Lomachenko? Is it Tank? Like, I don't think he, like, says, I want to fight Cepeda. I have to fight Cepeda. But if you're going to leave Top Rank and you're looking for big fights, meaningful fights, this is it.
Well, is it wrong to say, is it too early to say Zepeda's the boogeyman of the division? Because, yeah, of course, everyone's going to say Tank, but Tank's the top of the top dog. The boogeyman's not generally noted as the guy who's the number one in the division. You know, to me, Zepeda's the dark horse, the boogeyman of the division, the guys that people are going to avoid because he doesn't have a title. He's very, very dangerous. He's goddamn good. You know, so yeah, I like the idea of going after the boogeyman. I said that about Tio when Matias was fighting. I'm like, yo, fight him next. Fight the guy nobody wants to fight. No, beat that guy.
Mistake's not fighting Matias.
Yeah, slay the dragon, and then you're the man. You're gonna win over the fans. You know what's that gladiator quote? You know, win the fans, win your freedom. You know, yeah. Boxing's simply similar, man. You win the fans, you're gonna win the freedom in negotiations, and then people are gonna be clamoring for you. Look at Isak Cruz. Win the fans, win your freedom. He won the fans when he blasted out Romero, right? He blasts out Rolly, who fans love to hate him. Guys didn't think he belonged there. Isak Cruz moves up in weight and destroys him and does to him what people expected, you know, anyone, any real champion to do to him. He becomes a superstar immediately. Overnight sensation is Isak Cruz. Win the fans, man. It's important.
No, it's definitely true. And you're right. Boogeyman now means a lot of things. It means you're avoided and you're also like low risk.
Low reward. High risk, low reward.
I always mess that phrase up.
Our guy Carl Moretti pointed that out. That you're a wordsmith there, Dan.
Low reward is William Zepeda.
There it is.
Exactly. So Zepeda gets a win. He looks great. I want to go back to the top ranked card because there was some heinous judging going on. Absolute highway robbery. Robson Conceição somehow defeats Oshaki Foster despite landing 11% of his total punches, despite landing in single digits in 10 of the 12 rounds. Conceição did throw 250 more punches, but Foster landed at a way higher clip. There wasn't one person that I saw or talked to that thought Robson Conceição won that fight. What the hell was that? That's bad. Like Dame Lillard tweeting about how bad that is. Stephen A. Smith tweeting, no wonder boxing is declining when you have scorecards like that. A black eye, once again, Chris. A really, really bad decision.
All right.
A title that changed hands, too.
Let me compartmentalize this real quick. First off, one of the worst decisions I've seen in recent memory. Absolutely horrible. Two, Stephen A. Smith, shut up. Shut up, dude.
He's right.
No, he's right, but don't go all of boxing because of a bad decision. Stop. That's like saying a bad call in football. It's like, this is why nobody watches football. Stop.
Yeah, but that's what Stephen A. Smith does.
Yeah, I know that. That's why I'm saying shut up, because it's your shtick. Don't do that, okay? Everyone does that. Damien, this is why nobody watches boxing. Plenty of people watch boxing, guys. Stop. It's a bad decision. Yeah. Horrible decision. Okay, let me get that out of the way, because that pisses me off when people do that. They throw out the baby with the bathwater. Yeah, we had a bad decision. You know how many decisions there are a week in our sport? Stop. Okay, yeah, obviously this was ESPN, everyone saw it, and it was terrible. I mean, Oshaki Foster, the interview with Mark Kriegel afterwards where he's crying, tears in his eyes, holding it together like a man, holding it together, but he can't fight those tears because I felt that, dude. I'm watching him do that interview, and I'm like, man, if that would have happened to me, I know what that feels like, you know, and that's that moment, getting that title taken away from you. And what he said was so crazy. He goes, you know, everyone was kind of getting used to me, you know, being in these tough fights. I just wanted to show that I could move and box. And I thought I shut him out. And it wasn't enough for the judges. That hurt, man, when he said that. It wasn't enough for the judges. Dude, it was enough for everyone who watched. Everyone who watched. Conceição included. Everyone. He didn't think he won that fight. He was getting outclassed. Outclassed. Conceição looked all of 35 years old that night. Was lunging on shots, couldn't close the distance. Oshaki's distance control was fantastic. His lateral movement was something I've never seen for him before. His power was good. His ability to stop and fire. His athleticism was off the charts. He looked awesome. I didn't think he was that good. I knew he was good. I knew he was very good. Remember, we called the Ray Vargas, and I said, I'm like, Oshaki Foster's winning that fight. And he did. And because I had my eye on him for a while. And then he had these really tough fights, come from behind for, you know, last round KO, struggles with a guy like
in Mexico.
Yeah. Struggles with a guy like Nova, who isn't like a world level guy. You know, so that was a little disconcerting. But then he comes out here, and he said he had injuries. My arm was hurt. My legs were hurt. I couldn't move the way. And then he goes out there and he does that performance. which I actually predicted Conceição to win that fight. I thought Conceição looked so good in the Navarrete fight. I thought he looked so good in the Oscar Valdez fight. I thought he's been improving. And I thought that Oshaki, because he's been looking vulnerable lately, was going to succumb. Not at all. Oshaki put on a brilliant performance, was dominant throughout, and they robbed him. Crazy. Worst decision in recent mind. He was like, I thought I shut him out. Yeah. Mark Kriegel going, yeah, I had 11-1. How do we go from shutout 11-1, 10-2, 12-0 to the other guy winning?
It's crazy. I don't get it because it doesn't have like the clear signs of corruption. It's not like someone's building Robson Conceição to be some next type of draw or they're out to screw Oshaki Foster. I just think that Foster, despite all the things, like I did see him winning the fight. It's like he kind of has a style where he doesn't dominate rounds. Like he's winning the rounds very clearly, but he's not putting them away. He's not leaving no doubt. And he leaves a little bit of room for this to happen, even though it should not have happened. But he won this fight. And the crazy thing about it is like he was signed to Bella Entertainment. So I was able to cover a lot of his fights on the Broadway boxing circuit when he was just, I wouldn't say starting his career, but restarting. He was in prison. He has a crazy story. He was part of like Hurricane. He was all displaced. Like him and Regis Progre came up at the same time and were all part of the same little circuit up there. Just a lot of adversity for Oshaki Foster. Like was not supposed to be a champion. Rebuilds his career. Signs with Top Rank. Becomes a champ. Almost gets screwed in Mexico. Becomes a champion. Now sees like some paydays in his future, right? You know, not huge paydays, but paydays as a champion, which is a huge thing when you're not a huge name. Is having that belt, that WBC belt with you, is huge at the negotiating table. Now that's gone because this wasn't just a robbery and a fight with no title. This was a WBC 130-pound title fight that now Robson Conceição is the WBC champion. Like, what? Like, now Oshaki Foster, like, it took him forever to get to this point, and he, like, we've seen careers get derailed by bad decisions like this. I hope there's some type of immediate rematch. I hope he can
won't
go
be.
In there and
guarantee win. It. Guarantee it won't be.
But like, who does Conceição? Like, what does he have behind him? Like, is Conceição going to try to go for some of the unifications at 130?
Yeah,
like, I don't get it.
Yeah,
I just 100%. Think it's
Top Rank is going to feed him for the rematch for Oscar Valdez. He's going to get the rematch for Navarrete. You know, you got these rematch opportunities when their guy is going to win. They're going to push the Mexican fighters because that's the way that it works. They've got a built-in fan base. There's not a big a Brazilian contingent of fans. So you got this guy who's very beatable. And
Foster doesn't have fans really either.
Exactly. So that's where the conspiracy, which just makes sense, comes into play. And it's crazy. And that I really feel for him. And I'm going to use all my platforms to go to bat for Oshaki Foster, because that is a disgusting thing that happened to him.
But the same thing happens, Chris. It's just like there's outrage today. There's outrage Monday. There's outrage Tuesday. And then we're on to the next fight. We're on to the next week, especially with someone like Oshaki Foster, who does not have a big profile,
right,
who is not in a huge weight class. He's in probably a weight class that's forgotten about right now. It's 130. Like, he doesn't have someone going to bat for him. It's just that part sucks. Like, it's the same cycle. I hate talking about bad decisions because nothing's going to change. Anthony Lundy, Ronald McNair, Paul Wallace are the three judges.
Do you remember our guy Tess? Right before the scorecards were read, he goes, "These judges don't have the experience that you'd normally see for guys in world title fights." And then that scorecard comes out. It was like he prefaced it was not. When I heard him say that, I was like, oh, that's kind of a weird thing to say. And I thought there was a foregone conclusion, easy decision. And then this comes out and I was like, oh, geez.
Well, sometimes you would know this. Like sometimes the truck gets the decision first.
Yeah.
And they'll tell Joe and they'll tell the guys. And then
if he did that was a seamless execution from Joe Tess, which is not surprising.
I would
not be
shocked. He's one of the best. Right.
Yeah.
So they usually, the truck will find out. Like when I did CompuBox at the fights, we had headsets on too, and the truck is the first to know about the decision, and then they can make the graphics and all that. Mm-hmm. Then the broadcast is obviously not going to spill the beans. But Anthony Lundy, Ronald McNair, Paul Wallace, I never heard of those judges. Like we talk about wanting to have younger judges, right? We talk about not having want to have the same names we hear all the time of the, you know, the Dave Moretti's. Like Dr. Lou Moret was judging last night on this Masvidal card. I think he's pushing 85 years old.
Oh,
like,
Jesus.
All right, so let's get some younger guys in there. Like, I don't know the ages of these guys. I don't even want to search. That's the thing. Like, I don't even want to do research on this. But it's like a vicious cycle. Robbery. That was a robbery. Like, you can use the word robbery for that fight. It wasn't like a Lomachenko-Haney thing. It was a close fight. Robbery.
Not a close fight at all.
Foster. Like, that's the right word. Robbery. Outrage from shows like ours, people on Twitter. People forgotten about the next day. And Ozaki Foster that has to live with it.
You know who we forgot about? Ishmael Barosho. How about that guy?
Oh, he got justice.
Did he?
Yeah, he knocked
by knocking out Davies and not being a world champion? No, he's never going to be a world champion. He did not get justice. And he didn't get paid either. That was not a money fight. Justice, why? Because he got a knockout on TV and then we don't hear about him ever again. That's like a consolation prize. That's not justice.
Yeah, Shock, he's not going to do it. It's not the type of fighter he is. He's not a knockout guy. That's all his fights. That's what I meant. Like, all his fights are like razor thin. Like, it's just the way he fights. Even when he's, you know, keeping his opponent to 11% of. So how do you win a fight landing 11% of your punches? Like, I've never seen that. Like, this is crazy.
Especially when you are an Olympian who's very, very good and pushed the limit against Oscar Valdez and brought Navarrete to a draw, arguably won both of those fights. But Ozaki Foster shuts you down and makes you look like he couldn't close it. Dude, how many times did I watch a Olympian good pro in Conceição falling over his front foot because he had no idea how far away Ozaki Foster was? Ozaki Foster's foot movement was so good. He was making this guy fall over his feet and walking into shots. Ozaki looked stronger. He was landing the harder punches. He was making a miss and look silly. 11% is. You know, the objectively the number, but listen, I'm watching with my eyes. Subjectively, he was losing every round.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely right. Do the judges see that? The judges see footwork, or are they just enamored with the pace?
Pushing forward, just going forward and missing?
That's what the judges, bro, I don't really know what judges think. I don't want to know, but it seems like they really value the coming forward. They really value the 700 punches that Conceição threw compared to the 400 that Foster threw. That's the only thing I could say. That's the only edge I could say so I had in this fight was that he just was busier. But who cares if you're not landing? Who cares if you're falling over your front foot? Like, that doesn't mean much. Like, I thought it's a clean, effective punching. Isn't that the number one scoring criteria of boxing? And Foster was landing, and he was making him miss. And now, I don't know what happens next for Ozaki Foster. That's the scary part. It's like, this guy was a champ. He was probably going to go on to and unify. He's up there in his early 30s, mid-30s, which for a boxer, he's getting up there in age. Now he has to start all over again. Hate that. Keyshawn Davis got a win. That was an interesting fight. There was a lot of tomfoolery. The referee got hit in the face.
Tomfoolery.
Modueno. Tomfoolery. Tomfoolery all over that fight. The fucking ref got lifted, hit in the face. Keyshawn Davis got lifted up off the ground.
Tomfoolery. What are you, Joe Biden? Joe Biden at the debate? Tomfoolery?
Malarkey.
Malarkey.
What is this malarkey? There's a white man speaking. Tomfoolery is one of my favorite terms, bro.
That's a good one.
That's what happened in that fight. Because I don't even like, there's not much to say about it besides there was a moment where the ref got punched in the face and awesome with Moreno tried to lift up Keyshawn Davis. Like, I don't know what's going on with Keyshawn Davis. He's sputtering a little bit and like what's like he should be moving quicker.
I don't know, man.
He's really good.
I think that was a really important fight for him because he had a guy who is not willing to just go down and was willing to fight and was taking the shots no problem and walking through the shots and making it rough. And you could see there were parts where Keyshawn wanted to lose his composure and start the foul. And there were a couple times, like when he jumped back and pulled him down, like he could have got warned a bunch of times for a couple things that he was doing, but I think he riled it in. And I think that was good for him. I think that was good for him to kind of grow through that kind of experience with a tough guy who's going to be there, who's going to make it ugly, wins every round, lands big shots. Listen, you're not gonna knock everybody out and that's okay. But, I think that was a good fight that he needed before he really does step it up because I've seen some lapses in him in some of these fights that I've called, the Patera fight, the Nahir Albright fight. where when he gets hit with some big punches, it kind of changes the way he goes about things. And this fight, he didn't show that, because he, you know, that guy was landing some big shots too. Not like super clean, but he's physical. He hits hard. He's heavy handed. Was being rough. And I thought that Keyshawn was able to be mature through the process, which I think is really important for him once he steps up.
Who did shine on the top ranked card? Abdullah Mason. Oh, wow, my goodness gracious, wow, man. It's like, wow, it's too late to buy stock in him, because you're not getting it at a good out, price, because secret is out on Abdullah Mason. He stops Henley LeBron, who's never been stopped before. This was supposed to be the toughest fight of Mason's young career. It's his ESPN debut. They put him on the main card, and he just carved up Henley LeBron like a knife through butter. Oh, my goodness. Every punch in the book, you got.
Luis LeBron. Henry's Luis the other LeBron. One. Oh.
Luis LeBron.
I had to look that up because I thought that was wrong. But yeah, Luis LeBron, who I've called multiple times on other cards, and he's a very, very tough guy. Never been stopped, by the way.
That's what you do. You put him in there like that, a guy that's never been stopped. Let's see if this young kid can stop him. And man, he's got everyone tweeting about him that he's the goods. This guy is no joke, bro. Abdullah Mason, like, I feel good about the future of boxing when you have someone like him in there. And get a great interview afterwards, too. Like, just wise beyond his years in both skill and like outside of the ring with his
kids locked
interviewing
in
skills.
He is just absolutely locked in, just completely dialed. I mean, that kid is something else, and physically growing into his maturity, showed power, showed ability to close the show. Honestly, I hate saying this. I mean, I don't hate saying this, but it's going to maybe fall on some, negative ideas, but, he does the things that Shakur needs to learn. How to stay in the pocket with a guy and build on your damage. The kid hurts you. He landed an uppercut in the second round that busted Luis LeBron's nose, and the blood started coming down, and then he just started building, and he just runs you over. Listen, Luis LeBron was gonna last. If he let him live, that guy was gonna come back. But he didn't let him live. You know, and that shows next level ability to build on damage and to be a finisher. The kid's a finisher. He knows how to finish. He knows when he hurts you. I don't know whether he feels it on his gloves, whether he's able to witness it with his eyes when he sees you. He knows you're hurt, and he goes in there and he's willing to stay in the pocket. He's willing to watch those punches whiz by, boom, 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 and get touched a little bit. A lot of guys aren't willing to do that. Right. He's willing to do that. He's willing to stay in the pocket with these guys. And LeBron's not a bad puncher either. The guy is physical. He looked like he was in great shape that night. When he came in the ring, I was like, this is a test. I know this guy. Yeah, Abdullah Mason is the goods. And when Tim Bradley gave him the double stamp approval of that's, dude, that is spot on. That kid, dude,
would you say, like, look at lightweight. Would he beat like the bottom five-ish at lightweight?
Who are we talking about?
Let me pull it up right now. Because they pulled up the top 10 rankings last night. Like, I always just go to ring, cause it's just like they put it together. It's not the end all be all, but, right now, Ring Magazine has Zaire Abdullev.
Beats him.
Mark Chamberlain.
Don't know who that is.
He looks like a Brit. He's tatted up. He is a UK. He's 16-0 with 12 KOs. Keyshawn Davis at number 8.
I wouldn't say that yet. I don't know.
Frank Martin.
Not yet.
Murataya.
No. Not yet.
Baranchik.
Nah, 12 rounds is a long time. Kambosos? He beats Kambosos. I think he beats Kambosos.
Point being, it's like he is he's 19 years old?
Top 10. How old is it? Top 10 guys.
He can beat 15, top 15.
Yes.
And this is who Top Rank needs to start pushing. This is what Top Rank does. Shakur is leaving. Okay, we have Bruce Carrington, who is primed for a run. We have Keyshawn Davis, who is primed for a run. We have Abdullah Mason, who is waiting in the wings, who is now entering primed for a run. We have
Abdullah Mason. We're looking at top of the sport type
pound for pound,
like DNA. Like, we're not like, this is not like, I don't see Keyshawn Davis being pound for pound fighter of, you know, in the sport of boxing. Abdullah Mason, I can see that. I think he has pound for pound DNA.
Like, right, it's the it factor.
Yeah, yeah. No, he is absolutely something special.
That's that, but I'm just saying that's the embarrassment of riches that Top Rank has. It's like, okay, Teofimo has open beef with Top Rank.
Well, that's why they don't play games. That's why they don't play games.
They are so good at finding this young talent. Like they have so many young Xander Zayas who is ready. Like they
star, just that kid's a star in the making.
They just keep replenishing it. They got the ESPN deal. I don't know how much longer they're going to have the ESPN deal, but you know, it's not they're not top heavy like. Shakur's gone now. Crawford's gone. Tyson Fury, I don't even know if he's still associated with Top Rank. So they're kind of missing like the top star. But, man, they'll do this type of card 15 times a year or 12 times a year on ESPN and at 10:30 after a college football game or after a UFC event. Abdullah Mason will be headlining soon. Yeah. Keyshawn Davis. And it's just
– Well, he was the shining light of the card.
By far. By far, it was amazing because I was watching and I was in the live chat for PBB.com for the Masvidal Diaz fight. The main event ended up being a fun fight. It looked like two drunk uncles willing to stand and batter each other, which what it was. The memes were amazing. Like everyone saying, like my TO still got it. It was legitimately like let's all gather around the barbecue. And our two drunk uncles are going to entertain us for 10 rounds. That's what Masvidal and Diaz did. I'm not going to lie, bro. It was entertaining.
I was just watching it before I came on here. And it's like, I'm watching two 40-year-old MMA guys, like, slap-happing each other back and forth.
Just slapping. I thought Masvidal won. The stats are, our stats are everywhere. I was doing CompuBox.
Well, Masvidal looked like a boxer, at least. Like, yeah, his boxing skills looked okay. He had his hands in the right position. He was jabbing. He was moving. He had, like, a little right hook. He stayed in position, but Diaz is just like
they were not gonna let Diaz lose that.
No, he looked like he just put his surfboard down and was fighting on the beach. Like
literally, that's what kind of made it fun. Like it was a little bit of charm. Like you knew what you were getting heading in. You knew you were not getting some like high class boxing. You were getting two names.
No, they're both super slow. They you know, like there's no power. You know, MMA guys have a really hard time developing power in the boxing ring with shoes on and having their feet set. Especially, you know, with their hands, but like, and putting combinations together and also just keeping up with the endurance to be able to actually still hit hard after throwing, you know, 40, 50 punches in a round, which they never have to do. So, that transition of power almost never happens.
No, it's look at, so clear.
Man, yeah. There's no speed. There's no snap. There's no power.
Sergio Pettis fought Chris Avila, who is like Nate Diaz's friend and like a fringe boxer. And Avila pieced him up because Pettis just had zero power. The whole card featured a lot of MMA guys. It had Sean Garcia, who's the brother of Ryan Garcia.
Who got smoked by Amato.
Steamrolled by Amato Vargas.
Saw that coming a mile away. Vargas.
Ryan Garcia made a fool of himself once again. He was in the corner acting like an idiot. Horrible week for him.
Horrible month for him. 2 months for him.
Okay, yeah. Like, I didn't even, like... The rant that he went on this past weekend, I just couldn't believe like a human could say those things. I don't care if he was drunk. I don't care what state of mind he's in. To say those things about black people, to say those things about George Floyd, Muslims, like you're in a pure embarrassment. You're an embarrassment to the sport. You've been embarrassing the sport for the last 2 months, like the PED stuff and the lead up and the Haney fight. That's one thing. This is just like disgusting where it's like getting picked up by Bleacher Report. It's getting picked up by House of Highlights, getting picked up by the major sports outlets. And it's just gross. It's horrible. I really think the guy, he says he's going to rehab, but like go yesterday. You shouldn't have been at your brother's fight.
He needs a brain transplant, let alone rehab. I don't know. I don't want to give this kid any more attention. I'm tired of talking about him.
Like, people are tweeting at me like you're being very quiet on Ryan. Like, do I need to come out and say, yeah, obviously, don't say anything negative or horrible. Don't use the N-word.
Don't be racist. Like,
yeah. Okay, you need me, Dan Canobio, a freaking podcaster. I have to come out and say what Ryan Garcia said was bad. Like, give me a break. Like, it's just to the point where you just said you don't want to even give him any attention anymore. Like, it's obviously bad. Like, it's horrible.
It's getting to a point because that's what he wants is attention, and he's realizing that. He no longer can do the thing that actually gets him positive attention, which is fighting. He's good at fighting, but he's not good at anything else. And everything else he does gets attention as well, but it's all negative. So he's keeping that up. Let's move on.
Exactly. Forget about it. I don't want to talk about him for a long, long time. Unfortunately, Danny Jacobs looks like his career has come to a close. He lost to Shane Mosley Jr. That was the co-main event on this Masvidal Diaz card. He just looked like a guy that he was not fighting for money. He's not fighting for. He was just like probably wanted to give it one more go. It's your guy. You guys are your buddies. Like he just didn't have that hunger. He couldn't pull the trigger. It was probably just like, why am I doing this exactly?
Yeah, it was. Honestly, it was. When I heard about it, I was like, it's not a good idea. Because I saw the number, the age, 37. Dude, I fought when I was 37. I remember I was fighting Miguel Lapierre. And, like, I had a really good fight, like, night that, you know, oh, performance like that night. But I remember being in the corner, like, in between round two and three. And I remember telling my manager, I was like, I had an existential crisis during that fight. He goes, really? What happened? Really? I'm like, I was just thinking, like, what the hell am I doing in here? Like, what are we doing? Like, see, 37 is a hard age to fight, dude.
37, I can barely get out of bed, let alone get in the ring. That must be such a weird moment for you, because or any athlete, because it's like you never had that thought. Like,
no.
You're in a fight, like you're so dialed. Between rounds, you're thinking like, oh, I would like to be in the crowd with Dan and his dad hanging out, having a beer, rather than freaking throwing 1,000 punches.
I was calling one of the fights for Pro Box, and we have like crazy fights all the time, like insane bloodbaths, like, and we're watching these fights, and I'm watching this fight, and it was my weight class. I think it was actually Lipinets and Davies,
which
fight was sick. Davies gets his nose like turned around and upside down and spilling all over the place. There's blood all over my suit, and I'm watching. I used to be in fights like that. I'm watching that, and I'm like, I used to watch that on TV and be like, oh man. I was like, if I was that guy, I'd be doing this. And like, I would just be protecting my nose. And I remember when I was like that, I'm watching that and I'm like, God damn, I don't want to do that at all. And I was like, oh, I'm done. I'm super done. But I don't want to be that guy. And then I'm not that guy anymore.
Not that guy. You're not that guy, pal. You were that guy.
I was that guy. Not that guy anymore.
Danny Jacobs.
And I think Danny realized that he's not that guy anymore either.
Yeah. Great career. Not taking anything away from Shane Mosley Jr.
No, not at all. Great career.
He had a nice jab and did just enough to beat Jacobs. Awesome career, Danny Jacobs. Like, this guy had cancer, came back from cancer, and got to the highest of levels. Fought Golovkin when no one wanted to.
Won two world titles and fought huge names. Always was, even the fights, you know, he's got five losses. All of his losses were always respectable. Super physically talented. Right? Super physically talented guy. Great athlete, awesome amateur. Everyone who saw him train and saw him fight, you know, always speaks super highly about him.
Ryan Garcia, right? Being a piece of shit and being like a horrible person for boxing. Danny Jacobs was
at great one person. Point
a great ambassador for the sport. Yep. He had those commercials that aired everywhere nationally about him overcoming cancer, like for Sloan Kettering. And now I'm a championship boxer. Just had that look of like a top notch dude. Like a solid guy.
Like a statesman. Like just like a right. like a Yeah, you know, like he should run for office.
Baby. So if this is it for him, which I think it is, because your boy Keith Connolly posted a thing on Instagram and said, what a career. This is probably the end. And I love to give these fighters their flowers at the end of their career. Awesome career. Just achieved way more than he probably even set out, especially when he was on the sidelines with cancer. But what a funny card, man.
Wait, hold on. Every retired fighter deserves an applause because making out of this sport alive is an accomplishment because
he's like a one percenter too.
A lot of people don't. A
freaking ton of money, fame,
and a world champion.
He's a one percenter of the boxing world. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. There was a line from Mauro Ranallo on the card last night that he was like, Danny doesn't know if he's a Hall of Famer, and this was going to be his last like run. It's obviously up for debate, but that was a fun, interesting card last night. I watched it top to bottom. 18,000 fans were in attendance. Like, I couldn't believe that number. They just love Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz is a folk hero, man. I didn't think he won the fight. They were not going to give it to Masvidal with that crowd. It was like 80% Diaz.
Wasn't Masvidal's promotional company, too?
Yeah, Game Bread Fighting. Diaz
still can't win the fight.
Funny. Like, he didn't do anything special. I thought Masvidal looked like a boxer. For certain points, Diaz just slapped him a few times. Like Masvidal landed more punches. It's funny. It was just an interesting weekend of fights. But and then we had Ioka lost to Fernando Martinez.
Oh wow!
Sunday morning, and the significance there is that Fernando Martinez, that was a unification. And
Martinez, hey, guess who the other champion in that weight class is?
Bam Rodriguez.
Rodriguez, baby.
Bam has said he wants to fight and unify, but he has that that rematch clause. So I could see Bam fighting Estrada again in the fall, Fernando Martinez with a defense, and then maybe Martinez versus Bam at some point next year in a unification. Yeah.
I don't need to see Estrada Bam again, but I get giving the champion his opportunity if he wants it. But
there it is. Yep, rematches. Hopefully, Shaky Foster gets a rematch. But story of the weekend to me, Abdullah Mason. Story of the weekend.
Positive story of the weekend is Abdullah.
Yeah, Abdullah Mason. Positive.
Is it Abdullah or Abdullah? Because I heard both.
I think it's Abdullah.
Abdullah. Okay. Got to say this guy's name right. He's going to be around for a while.
We got to learn this guy's name. We're gonna. He's going to be keeping the lights on. for us doing what we do here. Love the kid. Shakur, what will he do next? We'll hear about that, I'm sure, in the next week upcoming. Yeah, that's really it. We'll be back at the end of the week with another episode. What we got coming up this weekend? Is there? Oh, we got Boots Ennis in Philadelphia.
Avasanyan, yeah. All right.
I don't love that fight.
No, but it's a good litmus test, and it's his first fight
with
Matchroom.
Do you want to see Boots, though?
Yeah, of course. I want to see Boots. I want to see Boots fight the guy who you know fixes your iPhone. I want to see Boots at everybody.
Speaking of that, mine's very cracked. Sound doesn't. I gotta get a new iPhone. Thank you.
Come on, dude. You're a world class podcaster. You're like a well known guy. People take photos with you and tell you that they listen to you every week. You need to step.
Not only that, I literally shoot our videos like on my phone, like this.
That too. So then it's then. All right. So now I'm being your accountant.
It's a write off.
It's a write off. I'm being your accountant now. I'm giving you business advice here.
Write it off. What is that? What does a write off even mean? I don't know. You just write it off. All right, everyone. That's from Seinfeld.
Sorry, guys, for coughing into the mic. I'm a little under the weather from my travels.
Chris, it's finally catching up to Chris, who doesn't get sick, who's a picture of health.
Turns out I'm human.
I guess three continents in 10 days will catch up to you.
Yeah, I counted. It was 10 cities in 13 days.
Get some rest. Come back. Yeah. Got Pro Box. You got another episode of this show at the end of the week. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Say those DMs. Good night.
Feel the rush. Live thoroughbred racing is happening now at Laurel Park, the Players Track. Every Friday through Sunday, the gates open at 11 a.m. and the action starts at noon. Free admission, fast-paced racing, and real wagering excitement from start to finish. Pick your horses, place your bets, chase the win. From live racing and simulcast action to great food, special events, and nonstop sports viewing, Laurel Park is where the action lives. Come, win, play. Visit LaurelPark.com.